For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Harrisonburg once again has one of the highest concentrations of new COVID-19 cases in Virginia. Unite the Right Charlottesville organizer Jason Kessler is denied a concealed carry permit. And we tour the newly opened Blue Ridge Tunnel Trail near Afton. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, November 25th. Well, as we head into Thanksgiving Day, COVID-19 cases are surging in Virginia, as they are nationwide. And Harrisonburg, again, has one of the heaviest concentrations in the state. Harrisonburg ranks fourth in the number of new cases per 100,000 residents, according to the Virginia Public Access Project. The city has confirmed a total of 3,390 cases since the pandemic began, with 37 deaths from the disease, according to the Virginia Department of Health. Rockingham County has reported fewer cases than Harrisonburg, but almost as many deaths at 35. Statewide, the weekly average of new cases has been increasing since late September. The number of confirmed or probable deaths from COVID-19 in Virginia is now almost 4,000, equivalent to the entire population of the town of Broadway. The Centers for Disease Control says the safest way to celebrate Thanksgiving is to celebrate at home with the people you live with. Gatherings with family and friends who do not live with you can increase the chances of getting or spreading COVID-19 or the flu. An organizer of the violent white supremacist rally in Charlottesville in August 2017 has been denied a permit to carry a concealed handgun. The Daily Progress reports that Jason Kessler was denied the permit by the Albemarle County Circuit Court after the Commonwealth's attorney there opposed it. Kessler filed for the permit in September. Commonwealth's attorney Jim Hingley filed an affidavit opposing the application, citing Kessler's criminal history and in particular for lying under oath. In October 2017, Kessler was indicted on a felony perjury charge for falsely swearing that he had been assaulted. What's the future of the Republican Party after Donald Trump leaves the White House? Well, Virginia might offer a first look, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Looking beyond the politics of 2020, and even beyond the inauguration of Joe Biden as the next president, what does the future of the Republican Party look like after Donald Trump is no longer in the White House? Stephen Farnsworth at the University of Mary Washington says Virginia's statewide primary in June will offer a revealing look.
The eyes of the nation will be on the Virginia nomination for governor on the Republican side next year. It will be the first real test statewide of how effective the Trump message is once Trump is no longer president.
Quentin Kidd at Christopher Newport University says the rising influence of populism in the Republican Party can be traced from Ken Cuccinelli and E.W. Jackson to Corey Stewart and now Amanda Chase.
I think this is sort of season four of the kind of struggle that the Virginia Republican Party has had when it comes to statewide races for a while now.
In other words, will the race for governor be something closer to the Trump show with Amanda Chase, or will it be a rerun of nostalgia for an earlier era with Kirk Cox? I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, Virginia's newest tourist attraction opened this week near Afton, the longest tunnel of its kind when it was finished in 1858. Today, it's part of a hiking trail that winds past streams, waterfalls, and stories of the people who built an engineering marvel. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman paid a visit and filed this report.
As you walk the half-mile trail leading to the tunnel's entrance, there are signs that tell how thousands of Irish men cleared and leveled the railway's path 135 feet above the base of Afton Mountain.
That slope was a problem from the very beginning, right up until 2 days before the first train went through. And so earth slides were just a very big problem.
Mary E. Lyons is a historian who's written 4 books about the tunnel and the people who blasted through rock to connect communities west of the Blue Ridge Mountains to the east. 33 enslaved people were also put to work on the project, but their masters, who were paid a daily fee, insisted they be assigned the least dangerous jobs.
They were seen as an investment to the slaveholders. Whereas Irish lives were expendable because of the Great Famine, millions of Irish were pouring into the country and they wanted a job. And so if an Irishman died, there was somebody to replace him.
Each man cost the railroad between 75 cents and $2 a day, so little that the workers often went on strike.
The one year they did not go on strike was the year after the cholera epidemic of 1854.
Housing for the workers was basic, and even inside you could hear constant blasting, 700 feet below the peak of Rockfish Gap. Today you hear waterfalls rushing down stone walls outside the tunnel, while inside water drips in some places. There's no artificial light, only a small promise shining from the other side, according to Chris Ritter, who came from Virginia Beach to walk the trail with her daughter, Alex.
Yeah, when you get to the entrance, you can see the light. But it's kind of deceiving, because once you get in the tunnel, it just seems like you're not getting much clear. Like, it takes a lot longer than you would think.
Clayton Ballou and Sham Singh were also intrigued by the walls themselves.
You can see the stone change as you go through the mountain, and you can kind of see where the tectonic plates were pushed up over time.
And Bob Kirchman, a graphic designer from Stanton, marveled at the work of Claudius Crozet, a French engineer who taught at West Point, then went on to plan and build the Blue Ridge Tunnel.
This was pre-slide rule, guys, and they got their tunnel alignments within inches coming from two ends of this mountain.
Nearly 100 years later, when a new tunnel was built to accommodate larger locomotives, engineers with greater technology were not able to do as well. Historian Mary Lyons has yet to make the trek from one side to the other.
I have claustrophobia, so oddly, I'm not going to ever be able to go through it.
But as someone with dual citizenship in the U.S. and Ireland, she's thrilled that the new trail is open, affording her a chance to post signs in honor of the men who built the railroad and those who died in the tunnel.
I'll start with Sam and Jerry and Tom, three enslaved men killed on the West Slope. And now read the names of Irishmen killed inside the Blue Ridge Tunnel. Brannaman, no first name. Don Calden, Lewis Cashman, Michael Connell, Dan Donovan, Michael Curran, Dennis Deasy, or Daisy, Thomas Devine, Morris Griffin, Mick Hurley, Thomas Mahaney, James Malone, Dan Sullivan I, Dan Sullivan II, unnamed, and Edward Wallace.
Someday she hopes the Blue Ridge Tunnel will also be recognized as a Black History Site. The tunnel, all 4,273 feet, is open from dawn to dusk at no charge. But visitors are advised to bring their own flashlights. I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Wednesday.